Here we are.
Spring is officially here.
What week is this for us?
Honestly.
I don't even know.
I need to ask you, Rana, is May considered summer or no?
Well, the first day of summer is June 21st, isn't it?
Oh my God, I think you're right. It's that late.
April 21st is the first day of spring.
And
I think May is really peak spring, even though it feels like summer.
Yep.
You think of May as summer, but I think it's really peak spring.
I think everyone's just excited to go outside, and then we could go to the beach, and we could go, you know what
I
mean?
Oh, yeah, we could do all of those things now. Yeah.
It'll just be so relaxing.
It must be hard for you. You're here in Marblehead, and you're right, and of course, looking at that beautiful water and the harbor and the gorgeous beach.
It's so pretty.
And you can sneak a walk here and there, but when the weather gets really nice, you're not really going to be able to.
Listen, if Andie McDowell's getting access to things, I'm fine doing it.
She shimmied right under that.
Right under, like a criminal.
How could she do that? What? I mean,
I don't know.
I ask the question on two levels. How is she still so limber that she can do the limbo?
Truly.
And B, she seems like such a sweet character, but what we learned about Andie McDowell, here's what we learned. What we learned about Andie McDowell is Andie McDowell has a star mentality. That's what we learned.
Because I mean, she's been a star for a very long
time. Stars believe they are the exception to every rule.
100%.
No question.
That's
so
absolutely
people
true.
aren't allowed to, you know, hike in public parks, but not me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course.
They don't mean me. I mean, people.
Right.
I'm not people. But not. I'm a famous
person. Not. I was in Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yeah. Do you have a little
and
bit?
The Muse.
Do you have a little bit of that mentality? Do you think when you go into Starbucks or when you go into wherever?
Do I think I'm a celebrity when I go into Starbucks?
You know, really, I'm waiting for my order. Are you sort of performing? You're waiting for your order. You know, I'm Brian Safi. Is that what you when you?
My delusions.
Brian of Ask Rana. Is that what you when they ask for your Starbucks name? They say Ask Rana.
My delusions are even grander, Rana. So when I go to the Starbucks around town or like a couple times I've gone to the, you know, they have that counter outside at Shoebies. I'm extra polite.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh God, I don't want it to get out that I was rude to somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need the Boston Globe or the Herald reporting on something I did it to someone at Shoebies. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm actually on top of my game.
Yeah.
And I'm very gracious and I give them a look like, we know who we are, right? You know?
It's not good morning, nice to see you.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Morning. Oh, he's so friendly.
Yes. That's always what I want people to think. So actually,
little do they know you're throwing chairs backstage and, you know,
going absolutely crazy, ripping my wig apart, just doing everything, throwing it.
What's happening with your wig contest?
Honestly, my wig contest.
It's been so wonderful.
I've run through the wigs. I have about five left, but they're all such cheap. They're nothing. They're no good.
But people even want your dirtiest wigs.
Well, I was thinking I also have a really big stack of, I don't really drink wine and I have so much wine. So I thought I would do wig with wine or wine wig and send a bottle of wine with a wig.
The only problem with that is that you really have to package that wine well. Do you have,
I know,
do you
Andy,
have that bubble wrap?
Expensive.
Do you want that? I mean, do you need that aggravation?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't do it. I'd probably ask someone who else, you know, around who
well,
does
so anyway,
work
whoever
the house
it is would have to go into your apartment in Los Angeles again.
No,
get
but
it.
She already comes in.
Yeah.
Oh, in Los Angeles,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah. To get all I was your thinking. Wine. Oh, you were going to send my wine? Oh.
Well, Rana, you actually have a lot in here because
of course
I don't.
Do. I have a cellar.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But in the carriage house, even you have a lot.
Well, that's party wine.
And there is someone
who does
come in here.
I mean, that's overflow wine. If I have an event, that's where I keep that wine. That's not.
There is.
That's not
I know you,
the wine cellar.
Well, all I have to say is this. Some of it was a little bit dusty, which I did notice. And so
it's wine.
Yeah. So a lot of, you know, it's not being drunk. So
well,
there
it's
is
aging,
someone who
Brian.
Is, I guess, but aren't we all?
Yeah, but that's a temperature controlled room. Like,
yeah, I
like
noticed
a humidor.
That. Yeah, and it's very humid in there, Rana. So I did sort of knock that off a little bit. I mean, there's that switch. But all I have to say is that, you know who's really thorough and a really good packer and organizer?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so she's come in here before, so I figure she could just
take
the entrance.
So you want Yadvina on fulfillment. You want to take my wine and you want Yadvina on fulfillment. And you want Yadvina going to the... Forget the fact that you even want Yadvina to do 100 things. You want Yadvina, who we've just gotten back, by the way, now that the sign is fixed.
Honestly, I can get out of bed again.
That you want Yadvina interacting, interfacing with the public. You want her going to the post office and interfacing with the public.
I'll buy this stuff on Staples, but yeah, she does have to go to the post office to ultimately deliver everything. But Rana, it's less about that and more about opening your heart and your care to people who would like wig and a wine. So ultimately, I'm trying to do something selfless. Let's not talk
moving
about that.
Moving on.
Yeah, please, Rana.
I don't even know. Yeah, did you want to say something, dear?
Well, I just wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
You haven't really talked about, and I haven't been able to drop in on your Zoom sessions or Skype sessions. And I'm wondering, what's...
Drop in. Oh, have you been Zoom bombing people?
Well, I tried to
Zoom
do it to
bomber?
You. Well, I wanted to see if you, because occasionally I see you like draw your shades and you set up a little lighting thing and you're talking to someone and I can't tell who, but it doesn't sound like Jordan. Are you talking to Mr. Cleveland?
On occasion. Yeah.
How is he?
But
what's
I've got
he gonna
Mr.
do?
Cleveland. Well, you know, how is he? How would you be if you hadn't seen Ronna Glickman in 6 weeks?
I mean, it's not an option.
Ask yourself that question. It really isn't
untethered.
An option. I mean, can you believe, when you stop to think about your pre-COVID life, your pre-corona life, you were on a plane every minute back and forth here. Can you even imagine being on a plane now?
No.
I mean, unbelievable. Well, that's sort of how I feel.
My pre-COVID life, I'm setting on fire.
Well, so you don't have any interest in getting on a plane. And I completely understand that.
Well,
and
I sort of
feel the same way. But Mr. Cleveland has been pestering me, shall we say. He's got his own plane. We've discussed this before.
Yes.
And he's saying to me, Ron, why don't we... He listens to the podcast on occasion. And every week it's a different idea with him. He's following. He's always watching to see who's flattening the curve.
Right.
And he keeps trying to take me on a curve tour, so to speak.
Like going to the places that are settled?
Wants to get into the plane, wants to take the plane to the places where there's the least amount of corona.
Okay. Like Montana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Montana, sure. Or Croatia, in this case.
Right.
And because, as you mentioned, spring is coming. And anyone that knows me knows I love spring in Europe. And I'm really very sad that I can't be in Austria. I'm normally in Austria right now getting ready for bikini season.
That's right. And I have been thinking about you through this whole time.
And I've been on my Peloton, of course, and in my pool. And, you know, but it's not the same.
Right. How's Ben?
How's Ben?
For those of you who don't know, Ben is Ronna's Peloton instructor.
He's my personal Peloton instructor. I do 30 minutes with Ben, and then I do 10-minute arms with Ben. And sometimes I do arms hit session with Ben, which is...
Oh.
Do you know what Tabata means, by the way?
Yeah, I know it's like... I don't know what if it's an acronym, but isn't it like every minute on the minute or something?
Yes, but...
Like 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off or something like that?
Yeah, but I don't know what it actually stands for.
I don't either.
But anyway, Tabata, HIIT. What I do like about Peloton is I just do what they tell me to do. I'm not really interested in the details of what a Tabata is and what a HIIT is and what a this and that is. But Ben used to be in finance and then he was a DJ. And now he's a Peloton instructor. And
he has the most, literally. Yeah.
And he has the most pleasant demeanor. He reminds me of the English soccer coaches they used to send over to my camp when I was a little girl to teach us football.
What? They would send over English coaches?
Yes, of course. And he was he's so soft-spoken, but he's so determined and competitive at the same time. I think you'd love him. How come you haven't tried one of his classes yet?
Ronna, I don't mean to get rude. How am I supposed to try one of his classes?
Which, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, I'm drinking out of my Roland Garros mug today.
From the U.S. Open. French Open. Wimbledon.
I don't know what we're doing here. From the French Open. Because as I mentioned, I've been missing Europe in the spring. And so here we are. I thought I'd take out my Roland Garros mug today.
So
here,
cute.
I'll show it to you.
That's actually very cute.
I love it. Well, it has that sort of 50s graphic, which I love.
It's very
which
cute.
I got. Would you mind? I ran into Bill Burr at the gift shop when I was buying a mug. He loves a mug too.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding. He's from Boston. I'm from Boston. And I'm when I say Lego my ego, we reach for a mug at the same time. And I said, excuse me. He said, are you buying that mug? I said, are you buying that mug, Bill Burr?
Oh my God.
He said, Ronnie Glickman, what are you doing? I said, what do you think I'm doing? I'm sitting in the front row at Roland Garros for the final. So I actually didn't tell him I was in the front row because it was his 50th birthday and I didn't want to upset him that I had better seats.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson was there too. Big tennis fan. Okay. Anyway, we were sitting right behind the photographers and I got to watch Rafa Nadal. And talk about buns of steals.
No, not Nadal.
Well,
is Nadal
Federer,
your dream?
Federer is my real favorite, but I love them both.
I'm a Nadal, I have to say.
Oh, you're definitely a Nadal.
Yeah.
You should see the caboose on him.
I believe it. And also, there's just a little bit more of a messiness to him than there is to Federer.
Hip transplants and, you know, holding on. And he's so cute and he's so sweet.
I didn't know
they
about
the
did
hair. An Instagram live last week.
I saw a promotion for that. Yeah.
And it was so, they were just doing it to talk about something. I don't know what. And they were so cute. They couldn't get it to work. And then they finally got it to work. But no one has better genes than Roger Federer. You know, he has two sets of identical twins.
What?
You think you don't believe in God. You think you don't think God gives with one hand and he doesn't give with another and we're all in it together and blah, blah, blah. Roger Federer, his genetic code is so significant that Hashem said, give him two sets of identical twins.
Two of everything.
We need to be sure that this code continues. Give him two identical sets.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
In any event, with Mirka, his wife. In any event,
you mean merda.
What do I mean?
Merde?
No, I don't mean merde.
Is that what that means?
No, that's not. Well, I don't know what it means in her language, but I know what it means in French.
Okay.
But in any event, Mr. Cleveland keeps trying to get me to go on a Flatten the Curve tour in his private jet. And I said, Tim, look, I'm not getting on planes. There's too many people. The guy that touches my bag, how do I know where he's been? The pilot, how do I know where he's been?
Yeah, it's a lot to trace.
Now I've got to pack the food and bring the food on the plane?
Yeah.
I don't have time for that. Not to mention, when you fly private like that, you've got to refuel. People think you just get on a jet, you get there. It's a little bit of a pain. You have to stop a couple of times.
So but you're not refueling.
No, but now we're stopping in Luxembourg, and the guy's got to come on the plane and say, who's here and what's in it, and ba 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 ba. And every time it's another interaction on the chain. Mm-hmm. And then finally we'll get to Croatia, which is what he's pushing this week. And he says, don't win, then we're on the boat. What about the poor people that work on the boat that have to be away from their families?
I know that, but Rana, I think we should go. I really do. I think that this is like, we have cabin fever right now when we, you know, yes, it will be a pain to refuel and all that, but we've been talking about Croatia and I don't know. It's a nice offer and I think we should do it. We'll go together, right?
Brian, now that we can Zoom the podcast with all these people that need to Zoom things.
Yeah.
We don't have to be in the same room.
No, we still don't have to be in the same room over there. We'll get a 2-bedroom. No, I mean, I could sleep.
Again. You're always trying to share a room with me. Why is that?
Well, why not? Or if you're sharing a room with Mr. Cleveland, they could have a trundle situation or something. I don't know. You know, over there.
Get a cot for you in the...
I'd be fine with it. I'd also be fine in a jet ski riding along the boat.
Well, first of all, I told you I'm going to put you in a Zodiac and tug you out the back.
Oh, right.
First of all, it's not going to be a 2-bedroom yacht.
Yeah, yeah.
But second of all, the invitation was not really extended that far.
To Croatia?
The other issue for me is, and Croatia has done a beautiful job flattening the curve, but the other, here's the thing about being at home. I mean, we haven't even gone to the vineyard. Maybe we'll go to the vineyard. But
sure, but I'd rather go to Croatia.
The problem again with going to the vineyard is you have to use the bathroom on the ferry. Or
I'll
the
just pee my pants.
No, but what I'm saying is people don't think about that. They keep saying, let's go here, let's go there.
But there's a million things you have to
do. 3 hours in, someone's going to have to use the bathroom. I mean, they just are. What are we, an astronaut with a diaper on? That's what we're doing.
Well, We could.
Remember her?
Honey.
She must. That must have been your favorite. That must have been your favorite story. She was so out of her mind. She put a diaper on, but she wasn't. But she wasn't too out of her mind to remember to come up with the idea of putting a diaper on.
Not to mention, she also. Who is that out of their mind for that long? Like, she didn't change her mind once during that whole road trip.
No. Well, she changed it and changed it back. Angel exactly. and the devil. Angel and the devil on each shoulder.
She got to, like, yeah. East Louisiana and was like, maybe I should turn around, and then, nope.
And then her bird said, turn around? What kind of a coward are you? You're just going to yeah. let someone else have your man? That's what you're going to do? And
yep.
then her bird, she was like, you're goddamn right.
Yeah.
Got right back in the car.
Not to mention, she was also, like, brilliant.
Yeah, well, that's why she was crazy. I mean, she obviously was mentally ill.
Yeah. Sure.
Anyway, so I've got this offer on the table now.
Yeah.
But there's just too many variables. And the other thing is all of the food and the food prep. I mean, you just don't know where every... Right now, what we're doing is we know where our food comes from. We know who prepares it, either Yadvina or myself.
Yeah.
We know how... But there's not... And where to get things. Eataly is delivering to us now from Boston, which is fabulous. And that's been a real godsend, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love their catering is terrific. If anyone is in a major city right now, Eataly has terrific catering, I have to say.
They do.
And they really don't mind. They put the salad together for you. They put the pizzas are delicious. They do that Roman style pizza. And people don't even think to order the chicken. The chicken's fabulous.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you'll find out tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you going to throw my way?
Yeah. In any event, look.
All right, so the offer's on the
table. I could consider asking him if you could join us, I suppose.
Yeah, I think you should. I'd love to go, and I will. You know what I'll do? I'll oversee the kitchen staff. I'll be like the manager of the boat.
But you're going to be below deck? You want to play below deck?
Oh, no. I'm going to be above deck, but we'll do walkie-talkie, and I'll say, like, did you wash your hands? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, it just seems wrong also to have all those people away from their families at this time. And, you know.
Right.
This is why I like Mr. Cleveland, but I feel like he's out of touch in a lot of ways.
Right. I don't think so. Yeah.
Part of that is living in Cleveland, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. People there. Well, Rana, there actually is somewhere else we could consider
going.
But
speaking of Cleveland, my good friend Douglas Katz, who's a chef in Cleveland.
Oh.
His restaurant, Zhug, Z-H-U-G, opened not long ago, and they're still delivering during all this pandemic. So if you're in the greater Cleveland area, call up Douglas Katz, tell him Rana sent you, and get some Zhug delivery, because they're really holding
name.
On there. Yeah.
Well, Rana, speaking of Europe, we got a lovely note from Bulgaria.
Let's hear it. Yeah.
Hello, Rana and Brian. I was excited to hear Rana ask to hear from your European listeners.
Oh,
I'm not technically European, but I am an American serving in Bulgaria with the U.S. State Department.
Oh, good skiing in Bulgaria. People don't talk about that, but it's true. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they don't. You asked for eyewitness accounts from here, and I hate to sound like a proponent of communism, but I honestly believe that their years of suffering under communist rule has prepared Bulgaria and Bulgarians well for this pandemic. For the most part, they follow the tight restrictions without much complaint. We were given because they've been beaten down so hard.
Complaint. Complaint is not an option.
It's not an option in a communist country.
And anyone that thinks these communist countries that have been free for 25 years, I mean, for 10 minutes, that somehow that mentality, oh, now you're free and you lose that mentality and time.
Right.
No.
No.
I mean, these are people who know not to complain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We were given the opportunity to evacuate back to the U.S., but chose to stay here because we truly believe they're doing a better job at managing the situation. The strict restrictions required wearing of masks inside and outside, closing of parks and schools, only 60 years and older allowed in stores before 10:30, not allowed to leave the city without permission, etc., were put into place at the very beginning of the outbreak, and to date there have only been 58 deaths in the entire country.
Oh, I guess we're going to Bulgaria.
Very impressive, especially given the aging population and less than stellar medical facilities here. Anyway, just wanted to let you know you have at least one big fan in Bulgaria, and I'm spreading the word, so don't be surprised if your Bulgarian numbers shoot up. Since you mentioned Croatia, our family did a road trip through Bulgaria, Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia, Montenegro, Albania, North Macedonia, and Kosovo before the pandemic, and I can tell you the Croatian coast is amazing. Definitely put it on your list for future.
Wait a minute, but you planted this question.
Well, all I'm saying is this.
But how you didn't know I was being invited to Croatia?
No, I didn't. But now you know what's so funny? About it. Rana, are your ears open to what the world is saying to you?
It does feel like a sign.
Yep.
Yep.
Signed, middle-aged mom of three who may not be your target demographic, but loves you more than almost anything. That's very sweet.
What a wonderful letter. I just have to say one thing that does drive me a little bit crazy in this whole conversation about who's managing what.
Sure.
I'm a little surprised State Department didn't say this herself. I just want people to keep in mind geography when they're talking about all of this, which is that every country is not, you cannot equate every country with another country. Bulgaria right. is like West Virginia. Okay. So that's all of these countries. Think of them as states, but they're lucky enough to be able to go. I mean, this very interesting thing going on in our government, which people are talking about to some degree, but the idea of federalism versus state versus centralized government.
Sure.
And it's very interesting because for the Republicans, they always say they want the states to have more,
right.
more
less
control,
less government.
But they're in a tricky spot right now because that's what you need at the moment is a strong central government in order to mm-hmm. get this, which is why some of the communist countries are able to handle it, because what they can do is say, stay home or we're going to shoot you. They don't have to say we're going to shoot you because it's already happened in the past.
That's already part of that's in the built in their brains
it
anyway.
It is implied. Why don't you tell me what your neighbor's been up to? Oh, we've got to do private. Is it secret? What's it called? The German movie?
Secret Lives of Others. Oh my God.
That's on the list. That
Absolutely.
Is on the We've got to do
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Oh, it's brilliant.
But so I think it's wonderful that Bulgaria is handling it well. But that's like saying Rhode Island, well, who were not handling it well. But Rhode Island, I mean, this is what we're talking about.
Well, and they're saying that about Montana, that Montana's really been on top of it. But it's
well,
sort
congratulations.
Of like,
right, there's no one there.
One person every 50 miles.
I want to know how many cows have COVID. That's what I want to know.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. But maybe we'll add Bulgaria to the list, Rana.
Yeah.
Rana, we should do a little housekeeping before we get to our guest.
Okay. So we wrapped up our Patreon. We gave away all that wonderful money.
2,000 buckaroos to
all
Meals
the way
on Wheels.
To Meals on Wheels. And now, as everyone knows, Sauna Privileges is up and happening. And
I can't believe it.
For the month of May, we're giving $2 from every Sauna Privileges membership to World Central Kitchen, which is that fabulous Jose Andres charity.
For those of you who don't remember, Sauna Privileges includes a Patreon exclusive video
yes.
of the Patreon recording every yes. week. And it includes, and some of you have, I'm sure, I don't know what you've done with my pictures that are up there now, but it includes my body part pictures. Nothing yes. graphic, all safe for work.
No, I wonder if there's been one or two disappearing orgasms, like the case of the disappearing orgasm.
Honestly, Rana, that's not my business.
You're right. You put content out into the world, and what they do with it is their business.
Exactly.
We have a book club coming up. Beautiful Ruins by Jess Walter is the book. That's in Patreon
yes.
in case people want to follow us. And also, if people go to our link tree, they can
and you
get,
should.
They can get our Brunello ringtone, which is
this
still up there.
Is... I mean, truly,
Brunello.
Rana, this is iconic.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That was fun. People loved your Vogue rap. People went crazy for that. That was a blast.
For mine, that was your Vogue rap.
Well, it was ours. We did it together.
Ours. Yes, okay. That's right.
All right. Are there any more? You want to do a review or two, or you want to just get to the guest?
Let's just get to the guest. We have such
Let's
a good
just
one this
get.
Week.
We have a fabulous, this guy's a big star.
Big deal.
Okay. Misha Collins.
Terrific.
Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities
totally endless. So download the free Anka app now or go to anka.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss.
Now, wait a minute, Brian.
This is like Hollywood royalty.
Okay. Well,
and he doesn't even live in Hollywood.
Well, royalty, you really have to be, you know, a Barrymore or something. But this guy,
okay,
his kids will be Hollywood royalty.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they don't even live in Hollywood.
First of his name. Isn't that how they used to say it on Game of Thrones?
Oh, I didn't watch that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
This was very funny. A few weeks ago, remember we got a question about angels. Somebody said, are there angels in Judaism? And I said, I don't know. I haven't read any of that in a long time.
Well, we have an angel.
We have an actual angel here with us today.
That's true.
I can't speak for the other part of it, but I know that this guy, some people say I play a doctor on TV. This guy gets to say I play an angel on TV.
And also, Rana, he is an angel. Because he does all this incredible
charity.
Very
charitable.
Work with random acts.
Very
philanthropic. And we got to be involved in Gish, which
he's the only guy I would ever do a scavenger hunt for. Let's put it that way.
The greatest international scavenger hunt. And I got so... I'm with you there, Rana.
There's nothing I hate more than a scavenger hunt or an escape room. That, I mean... But I'll tell you what, and I've said this to Brian.
Can I ask you, have you done escape rooms?
I have done an escape room, and every time I think... They didn't clean this place before we got in here, and the door is right there.
They're run down.
All Russians.
I've done it a few times, and I've never actually made it out of the escape room. I always get stuck because I'm not smart
enough. Does it get boring after a while?
It's because there's no stakes.
Because there are no stakes?
There are no, it's fake stakes.
They tell you they're
going to
kill you if you don't get out or something like that.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. We were just talking about Bulgaria.
Oh, but this is Misha Collins with us.
We should mention.
His name is Misha Collins.
I guess today is Misha Collins. Yeah.
You know from Supernatural.
I'm sorry, did I jump in before I was actually properly introduced?
That was,
once again, I'm failing on the entrances and exits and all of our transactions here. I'm sorry. I will endeavor to do better next time.
Who could blame you? You couldn't resist. You wanted to jump in. We were talking about you for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, Rana, we were part of the greatest international scavenger hunt. Gish, founded...
Yep.
By Misha Collins with his organization Random Acts. I have to say, Misha, I still get tweets from that and DMs from that being like, oh my God, I can't believe you've never played this before. I can't. And people from all over the world. That thing is enormous.
Yes, it is. It's got sort of a cult-like global presence. And we've been running it for now getting close to a decade. And I'm shocked that I'm shocked, first of all, that nobody has been killed, knock on wood.
Right.
Knock on Wicca,
there
as you
go.
Would say.
On Wicca.
And I'm shocked that I was going to say no one's been arrested, but that only one person has been arrested participating in Gish. And that people keep still coming back for more. We just did like a mini stay at home Gish hunt that you guys participated in. And it was a little bit of a different format where we did a lot more Zooming and video chats than we ever have before, because before we've never done any. And people were participating from 100 countries, which was kind of crazy.
And who knew there were 100 countries?
Honestly.
I know, including, by the way, Bulgaria, which you just
So Bulgaria,
mentioned.
We got a letter today from Bulgaria, from someone who's working at the State Department there, who wanted to let us know that they're doing a beautiful job because they're all used to communist rule of staying inside and doing whatever they're asked to do. And then that leads me to escape rooms, which are always run by Russians.
Right.
Because
I was going to say, aren't you probably scared of escape rooms anyway? Because that's got to be in your blood a little bit. I mean, who wants to fantasize about something that already happened?
True. Like being locked away at a gulag or something?
Exactly, and trying to escape it.
Is that part of your history?
I was talking about you, Rana.
Oh, me? You're saying I'd be good at... Well, okay. All right. Let's rewind here. You're saying I'd be good at an escape room because my people are always having to escape from here and there.
Exactly.
But that is the exact reason why I'm not good at an escape room. What I'm good at is escaping. And what I'm not good at is pretending. Isn't this hysterical? What if somebody knocked on your door and said, give us all your stuff and get out of this apartment, or we're going to murder you and your family?
Can you imagine if that happened?
For me, that's not a game. That's just called history. But people think it's fun. Wouldn't it be funny if the Gestapo came and knocked on our door? And I could tell you from personal experience, it's not so fun. So that's not my idea of relaxing. I know they're coming for me at some point or another. So what I'd rather do is read a book, go on vacation, until the time comes where the doorbell rings again and they say, Mrs. Glickman, I know you thought you were part of this society, but we've come to take your things. Because it will happen. It will
happen.
Such a
sweet and uplifting little sidebar.
That was
By the way, I know what to do for your birthday. I'm definitely going to host a surprise for you.
I'm begging you to.
We'll do a fun little concentration camp escape room.
Well,
and it'll be amazing.
It's funny
you'll
love you should.
It.
You know, Misha, I will say. You know, okay. There's a flip and a flop here. Because we've already had too much conversation. We've got to get to our questions. But everyone who knows me knows that I love to visit a concentration camp. It's my favorite thing to do. And last year on my birthday, I was in Prague. This is all true. I had the most perfect day you could ever imagine. My birthday is January 5th. And so everything is closed, of course, especially in Europe because they follow the advent calendar or whatever, you know, January 6th is whatever it is. I can't remember, but that's
King's
really,
Day or
that's
something,
really
yeah.
the last day of Christmas. Mm. And the concentration camp was open, but no one was there. Normally they have all these schools and, you know, or so they say, I'm not entirely sure they do, but we had a private tour of Theresienstadt, Terezin. And then we came back to Prague and we took a beautiful walk along the river. And then we had dinner at a Michelin star restaurant. And it was absolutely my favorite. I couldn't think of a better way to spend the day.
Well, I can't believe what pay dirt I hit by joking about your birthday being at a concentration camp. And only to find that actually
I'll send you a
happened.
List of the ones I've already been to. So when you're planning our trip, you don't pick one I've already been to. And you know what? I haven't been to Dachau, which is right outside Munich. And Munich is a blast. So we can just do it that way.
What a wonderful day that would be.
We can also just go to the beer hall where Hitler declared his putsch. Yeah.
Right.
It'll be a blast.
His what?
His putsch.
What's that?
Like a coup. P-U-T-S-C-H. The beer hall
and also
punch.
He gained a little weight around the middle. So I think
that's from the beer. Perfect. Okay. Should we start, Brian? Let's get into some advice. These people are dying to know what this guy has to say about things.
Okay. Dear Rana, Brian, and lovely guest. That's you, Misha. Mm-hmm. I'm a longtime fan of Rana's past endeavors. And on a lark, recently discovered the podcast. I'm so thankful I did. Your wit, grace, and good advice have really brightened up the apartment in these dark times. I couldn't be happier.
Anna, did you write this question?
That is a great question, Misha. This is payback because last week I got a big compliment and now we've got Rana's.
I don't want to shock either of you, but I get a lot of compliments.
I'm writing because in January, I, a gay man, moved to a new town and met and almost immediately started dating a gentleman who, until very recently, identified as entirely straight. We have great chemistry, and even throughout the isolation, we've been having a fantastic time FaceTiming for dinner almost every night, playing video games, watching movies online together.
Video games.
He does, however, have a roommate who is also his longtime best friend and who is also a gay man. This friend does not and has not liked me from the moment I met him. Because I'm very new in town and really haven't had any experience in the incredibly small gay community here. And because I'm a catch, I can't think of any other... Wow. I can't think of any other reason than jealousy. I've always been friendly and open to his presence when we would spend time together in their apartment. And even now, when he pops on the screen, I'm often met with coldness and sarcastic remarks. At a party before quarantine, it became evident to me that his best friend has been in love with him for some time. I'm sure Brian remembers the feeling of being in love with a straight best friend. Honestly, that never happened to me. Why would I go there? Why would I want to hurt myself?
Foolishness.
Okay. Exactly. I'm sure Brian remembers the feeling of being in love with a straight best friend and could spot this type of love sickness a mile away. Well, I could smell it on this guy. He kept flaunting their years of friendship to me as if he would intimidate me, but all it did was make me feel bad for the guy. My boyfriend can sense that we don't get along, and I know it upsets him. He's remarked on a few occasions that he doesn't know why his roommate is being weird with me, and I don't know how to break it to him that his closest friend of many years is upset that his sudden sexual discovery did not result in a relationship between the two of them. I'm tired of tiptoeing around this, and I'm tired of getting snark from his roommate. But I'm unsure of how to approach this without hammering at this new wedge in their friendship. I'm also not quite certain if I should say anything to my boyfriend about his roommate's feelings. What if I'm wrong and the guy just doesn't like me? I'd love your sage wisdom on this one. Kiss, kiss, Alex in Iowa.
No.
Well.
Yes.
What do you think about a guy
who thinks his boyfriend
doesn't like him? His boyfriend's friend doesn't like him. He supposes the boyfriend's friend is in love with the boyfriend and wants to tell the boyfriend that. Misha, any thoughts?
I mean, it sounds like he has figured it out. But it's also a little bit difficult to tell just from you reading the text of his question. It's possible that your listener is actually just a very unpleasant person who is off-putting, and that
impossible.
The roommate is a great judge of character. So
we are only getting one account of this. You're right.
It's true. Without having more evidence presented here, it's tempting to jump to conclusions. It sounds like an interesting dynamic, though.
The real question is, so what's the problem? In the sense that if they're already talking behind the roommate's back about this, it's not like it's not being addressed. And if this guy talks about what a catch he is, and he knows, yeah. I mean, da, 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 da. So if he's such a catch, what are you worried about? There's no such, there is no competition.
Yeah.
You don't like the way this guy's treating you. You've both already discussed that. But you feel a little insecure. I think this guy is afraid to state what appears to be the obvious, which is, you know, Jeff is in love with you. He doesn't like to play Call of Duty at all. He just plays with you because he knows that's what you like to do. But you know Jeff's in love with you. I think he's worried about planting the idea in the boyfriend's brain that, you know, this is like a terrible romantic comedy where the librarian was under your nose the whole time and she takes off her glasses and you think, how was I not? I've been in love with you this whole time.
Right.
I just never once, the Farron moans, never, nothing ever lit up. But just this
dandruff.
Moment.
Yeah.
Just this moment.
Right. Right.
I think he's worried about planting that idea. And I think he does feel, the other guy lives with him. He gets to spend more time with him all of the time. I think he does feel competitive with this other guy.
Well, they're best friends. They live together.
It's also so strange
one
that someone
was in denial about being gay. I mean,
yeah,
complicated.
How many?
It is complicated.
What did he say? He was totally straight. What was the description of his straightness?
He described him as until recently. The boyfriend described him identified
entirely
as entirely
straight.
Entirely
yeah,
straight.
Which is why he has a gay roommate. And because
right. That's another thing. That's right. That's right. A gay roommate who clearly has an attraction to him.
Yes. He knows this guy has a crush on him. He knows.
Yes.
Misha, also, have you ever had a friend that you thought you love this friend, but you're like, this guy, maybe he wishes this went another direction. It could be a woman too. It doesn't have to be a man, but someone where you love that person, but you don't want to say it out loud because then the friendship is over in some way, even though everyone knows that they're in love with you or you're in love with them. You could have been on the other side of it.
I'm sure I have. Nothing is coming to mind, but I did have, when I was in college, I was looking around for a roommate and I saw an ad and I went in and found this guy who was a chemistry grad student named Nico, and he was just the perfect roommate. He said, I hope you don't mind, but I just love to like clean the apartment all the time. It just helps me to relax. And if you make a mess, it's totally fine with me, but I just love to clean. I hope that doesn't bother you. And
that
you can be as noisy as you want.
Best roommate ever.
But I'm very quiet. And it was just like, this is a dream come true. Yes, I'm in. And then he turned out to be a little bit of a complicated roommate. I would come home and he would be asleep on the kitchen floor and I'd say, Nico, what's happening? And he'd say, Misha, can you please just get me some juice? And he had hypoglycemia, and if he didn't give himself enough food, he would pass out. And he would, I'd come home. This is not hyperbole. I came home one day and he literally had his face on its side in his plate of food. And he was sound asleep in his food. And then one day Nico just didn't come home at all. And then he didn't come home the next day. And then I started to get worried. And I found out he was in the hospital because he had fallen asleep in the chemistry lab and blown up some experiment.
Oh, my God. And
then it turned out he wasn't, in fact, hypoglycemic. He was narcoleptic.
And narcoleptic.
And then I had my best friend in college. We got drunk, and he ended up staying in my room. And the next night, I was sleeping, and I felt something at my feet, and it was my roommate crawling up under the comforter from the foot end.
Like a squirrel.
Like a squirrel up into my bed.
Oh, you know, like a squirrel.
Nico, what's going on? And he said, well, I thought it was okay because Dave stayed here last night. I thought maybe I could stay here. And then we had a big conversation the next day about how he was, you know, he was in love with me, but he was going to try very hard not to be. And it was a very interesting relationship over the course of that roommate situation. But I guess I've had some exposure.
I have to tell you, Misha, the way you told that story all in one tone without identifying which parts were going to be crazy, like there was no, we didn't know what was coming, was honestly exciting.
My other favorite thing about Nico was that he would sing. He would walk around in a towel and no shirt all the time, and he would sing this song that he had written.
I touch myself. Oh.
My heart I lift up to you. My heart I lift up to you. And that was it. That was all of the lyrics, and it was a song that he had written about Jesus. And he was
good
singing Jesus.
Lord.
And that was all of the lyrics of the song. My heart, I lift up to you.
Misha, it wasn't about
you.
Jesus.
Were his Jesus, I hate to
he
tell
was,
you.
He was letting you know his truth. He was singing his songbird song to you.
Yeah.
My heart, I lift up to you. Mm-hmm. What's this guy supposed to do?
I don't think he should tell his boyfriend about this. First of all, this other guy, the guy who's in love with the boyfriend, seems... I just can't imagine doing a drive-by snarky comment in someone else's Zoom, which or FaceTime, which he said he was doing. This guy said that he'll occasionally come on and say something sarcastic to me or just something dripping and droll and then something rude and then just walk by. I'm telling you, your boyfriend knows there's tension, clearly.
Yeah.
I don't think there's – you don't need – and your boyfriend doesn't need help to make that friendship dissolve or to see the writing on the
wall. No, this guy's
going to
drive himself into a wall.
Completely.
He's going to climb right up the covers just like Nico did.
Exactly. Exactly. He's going to put on a pair of panties, crawl up the bed.
Can you? I can't think of anything more terrifying than somebody crawling up from your feet.
Oh my God. Me neither.
No, it wasn't terrifying. It was just like, oh no.
But weren't you asleep?
I was. I guess it must have been a little surprising.
It was tender.
Just thinking, oh no, you misunderstand.
I open my heart up to you. Is that what he said?
My heart, I lift up to you.
My heart, I lift up to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so to the boyfriend, if you ever hear your roommate singing that song, just know something's
just
coming.
Take a hint.
And it's going to start at your feet.
But I think that you both make it an interesting point, which is we don't really know about the letter writer. I mean, he's
That's
a little
true.
Bit full of himself. And he sounds,
he
which
bit.
Of course, anyone who's that full of himself is insecure. That's just how that works.
I was going to say, and he sounds a little possessive even.
You don't have to tell people you're a catch. If you're a catch, people are trying to catch you. That's just how it works. You don't really need to advertise it. And your boyfriend knows every state of this game. That's a good friend. He doesn't want to lose the friend. If your relationship progresses, probably that roommate situation will dissolve anyway, where he'll want to move in with you or he'll want to get his own place or whatever it is. But there's nothing to say here. If you don't like, I mean, the only thing you could really say is, I don't really like the way your roommate talks to me. I don't think he's very nice. You know, I don't know what's going on here. I feel like I try to be friendly to him and there's nothing I can do. And your boyfriend's probably going to say, that's just him. Because who wants to have that conversation? And by the way, who likes anybody's boyfriend? Do you know how lucky you are when you like someone that someone's dating? What a friend of yours that you're dating? It almost never happens.
I will say this. They do live in Iowa.
Yeah.
So you could do a Children of the Corn.
Oh, boy.
You could stand by the boyfriend's roommate's window with like a hockey mask on and just stare in. And then when he opens the window and says, "Who's out there?" say, reveal yourself, but put on a really long wig and red lipstick like Carmen Sandiego and smoke a cigarette and say, "He's mine and you better watch it." And then go back to the corn.
And then say, "This was just a clue on the scavenger hunt."
Exactly.
If you really get busted, you say, "Thank you for filling my gish."
And have you heard of gish? Get into it. All right, Ronnie, you want
to
read the next one?
All right, let's get on to the next letter. I have to tell Misha I watched an episode of his show last night.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And I couldn't understand. You were eating burgers nonstop.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Burgers.
Yep.
And I thought, real burgers or were they made out of something else?
How many burgers did you eat in the shooting of that show?
Oh, God, I don't remember. That episode, I think that was probably pretty early on. That might have been season 5 or something. And I had fallen under the spell of famine, I believe, and I had an insatiable hunger, and I was compelled to eat burger after burger after burger, which was unusual for my character because I was an angel.
And you don't eat.
Who doesn't eat. And then the episode ended with me being under the spell, and I was on my hands and knees eating out of a dog bowl.
Correct.
Just how Nico wanted you.
And it was just ground. It was a mountain of ground beef.
Meat.
That I had to eat, I think, just with, like, face first in it. And that.
Wow.
And that was a. Like a fake, it was like a vegan,
like a boca
ground beef kind of thing. And it was a pinkish hue. And I remember gagging on that. That was pretty tough to get down.
Mm.
Are you a vegan?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
But who can eat that much beef?
They wanted it to look raw. And I think that they felt
they didn't want
they had
flies
some compunction about
coming around.
feeding me a mound of raw.
Are there ever moments as an actor, I'll ask this to both of you, where you think, these people hate me? Why would anybody want me to do... Why would the scene be, I'm on my hands and knees eating dog food for 5 hours?
Yes, I do think that.
Or do you think...
In fact, and also,
I'm the kind of actor
that
would do anything for
No,
meaning
I know that
I'm a very adventurous actor, and I... Oh, great, wonderful, more dog food. This is a blast.
No, I know that they hate me.
Even all those years ago.
It's good to know where you stand.
Hi, Rana and Brian, and guest. Can you please recommend the best at-home teeth whitening kit? I'm feeling very out of control with my look right now. No nails, highlights, brows, etc. I was also trimming my angel's trumpet tree back recently, and a bit of its oil pollen got into my eye. Little did I know the pollen from the tree will dilate your eye. So my right eye has been permadilated, David Bowie style, for 36 hours now.
How is this all in the same paragraph?
It's slow. How about in the same sentence? It's slowly returning to normal, but I look 100% crazy. 100%. I want to take control of something about my appearance, so I'm considering whitening my teeth at home. I've heard it's too painful at the dentist's office anyway. I'm in LA if that helps. Would love suggestions. Thanks, Sarah.
I mean, her eye is dilated from something called an angel's trumpet.
Is anyone a horticulturist here? I don't know what an angel's trumpet is.
I want to Google this right now.
I know. And she thinks that maybe... The idea that she got the teeth whitening idea from having oil and pollen dripped in her eye.
She's just trying to control something about her. Why this has to do with her appearance? I don't even know who's looking at it.
Well, listen.
Is there a better time to have one dilated eye than now?
It's true.
Who's even
Now's
looking
the time.
At you?
And by the way, David Bowie's eyes were very sexy. But
he
also
didn't have did he have an over-dilated eye? I thought he had one eye, green eye and one blue eye.
Only when they were photographed.
Or one brown and one green. What?
It was only when they were photographed. I think it was something about the reflection off because he had like an injury. So I think to look at him, he didn't. But anytime he's in a picture, he did.
Oh, interesting.
Something like that.
But did he not have two eyes that were two different colors?
No, to look
at
them.
It was just the pupil?
There was something wrong with one of the pupils from an accident he had. So I think it was just when they were photographed, they were two different colors.
I see.
I think. I could be wrong, but that's what I thought I read.
Yes.
Okay. I will say this. If you're going to adjust something on your face or body, teeth whitening is probably the lowest stakes. So, you know, there's not, it's not like getting something injected into you or, you know, and it's, I mean, I don't know. Crest white strips are the only thing I know. Misha, any Hollywood inside secrets?
Well, I can tell you that I once had my teeth whitened at the dentist, and they said you might feel like a little burning sensation on your gums. And I walked out of the dentist's office, and all of my gums looked like necrotic tissue. It was all just like white and horrifying looking. And they almost, my gums kind of almost scabbed up over the course of a week. It was really, truly disgusting.
And where was this dentist? Who sent you to this dentist?
Well, I sent myself. I make all of my dental decisions myself.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So you
He's
just
very down to earth.
Yellow pages, right in the yellow pages.
Yes, it was more or less a yellow pages situation.
I would think after this incident, you'd consider getting a recommendation from another person instead of taking complete control of your own dental care.
That's actually a good point. Yeah. Fair point. You win this round.
And so how long did it take to?
It was about a week before I returned to normal. So I really think that doing it at home sounds like a pretty good move.
How did your teeth look?
Have you?
How did your teeth look at the
end
of it?
My teeth looked pretty good.
Yeah.
After it was done. They weren't too white, but they also, I mean, I don't know that my teeth were ever really brown in the first place. I think I like the listener was more bored than anything. You want to say hi?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
That was West. He's never had his teeth whitened.
One day.
Brian, when you did it, what happened to you?
Nothing. I'm sorry. I didn't go to a dentist. I've only ever done Crest white strips. And I think the one I did is called 3D Effects. And it's the one that lasts, you do it over 2 weeks.
Okay. You do it every night for 2 weeks or what?
You can, or you could do it twice a day for 7 days. Or they have the hour strips if you need something like fast, but they just are stronger. Usually the ones that last a week are stronger.
Yeah.
So if you don't want the pain, do the like Vivid Effects 3D for 2 weeks. I don't know. I mean, I asked my dentist about teeth whitening and he was like, just start with doing Crest. And if you don't like it, then come in. But it's a good option. And it was.
You also have to factor in if you're a tea drinker or a coffee drinker.
I am both.
Yeah. So if you do it for those couple of days, you're really around it. You really can't drink coffee.
You can with like a straw.
Yeah.
But you really shouldn't.
Or a lot of milk, but whatever. But
I did all of it.
Pay attention to the package. The best thing to do is when this is all over, or if your dentist already has a mold, you get a mold made from the dentist and they give you trays basically. And then they give you, you can buy some bleach from them and they, you know, you do it whenever you feel like you need it. But it seems like getting the eyeball addressed would be a bigger issue for me. Yeah.
Brian, I feel like you know a lot of really meticulous details about the Crest strips, the number of days, the different iterations of the Crest.
I've done
strips. Are you sponsored by them?
I don't want to say that I am because I'm paid to say that I'm not, but I will say that, there are days when Crest asks me to be dazzling.
Yeah.
And so on those days, I just have to make sure that I dazzle. And so
hashtag not an ad.
You always enter a room, and this is not their slogan, but it's also not their slogan.
Yeah.
You always enter a room teeth first.
Teeth first.
Yeah.
So I have to say you both have beautiful teeth.
So do you, Rana. Your teeth are so white.
My teeth are terrible, but they are white. But
did you have braces?
I did. You?
Yeah.
I did not have braces.
Really? No. Your teeth are completely...
I know. I got lucky in that respect. But my teeth are also incredibly porous. I get cavities if I look at something sweet.
Well, so that's also why you had trouble with the bleaching. Because that's what it does, is it opens up the membrane, essentially. And that's why you have to be careful about drinking coffee, et cetera, because the stain will kind of settle in. You have sensitive teeth. That was a leading... Could you see the way he did that? That was, he was fishing for a compliment. He said, did either of you have braces?
That's exactly right.
So that you could say to him, did you? And he could say, actually, now I have perfect teeth.
That's right.
Yeah.
Misha, I would stop smoking now. I would stop smoking now.
For so many reasons.
Yes.
Okay. Use your white strips.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
Let's do our last question. Then we have to do a giveaway, which is exciting.
Okay. So are we going to do... Oh, I see. Okay. It's the one from Anonymous with some feelings, right?
I think there's only one more. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Dear Rana, Brian, and Misha, proud Carriage House member here. Thank you for your biweekly batches of humor, warmth, and wonderful advice. You're really helping me get through this quarantine. I write to you with matters of the heart. I live in New York City and 31 years old and fresh off a pre-COVID breakup. My boyfriend and I had been together a little over a year when things started to fall apart around November, December. His father was diagnosed with brain cancer in 2018 and had been declining over the past few months, which had rightfully consumed my ex-partner and unfortunately put a bit of strain on our relationship. In addition, my ex-partner has been at a crossroads in his career. He's had some he has had some financial issues, and while they never directly impacted our relationship, the stress and lack of confidence continued to eat away at him and ultimately manifested in depression. He's a very sweet guy with a kind heart and empathetic nature, but I've had to be the rock in this relationship for a while, and while I never financially supported him, and never would, I always lent an ear, gave sage advice, and provided a shoulder to cry on. Unfortunately, as the months went on, my ex-partner's depression started to become anger, and anger directed toward me for the most mundane of things, including asking to take the trash out or to please not be late for my sister's birthday dinner. In late February, it came to a head one evening when he got incredibly blackout drunk and screamed at me relentlessly about everything and nothing. I got up and left, knowing that things could not continue as they were. To add insult to injury, later that week, my company announced a massive decline in revenue and unfortunately laid off my entire team. My ex-partner showed up at my apartment that evening in an attempt to console me and apologize, but we just ultimately rehashed what had happened earlier that week. He didn't remember. And before I knew it, we were broken up. As he left, I did what every self-help book would tell you not to do and begged through sobs for him not to go, which of course he did. I'd been living with a stranger and betrayal of being abandoned at my one time of need from someone I had taken care of for the better part of the year when COVID happened. Not knowing if New York would burn to the ground, I left in early March for my parents' home in the suburbs in Concord, Massachusetts.
A lot of detail here.
I no kidding. And I've been licking my wounds ever since. As any quarantine will do, I found myself really missing my ex-partner, and we have started to talk again. First about COVID in New York, and then slowly skirting around the issue of, quote, us. I'm still very hurt, and while chatting with an ex this fresh is something I never usually do, I'm craving comfort and normalcy in this crazy time, and talking to him is providing some of that. He seems to want to get back together, and I'm not so sure. I'm worried that I'm hindering myself from moving on, and I'm still very upset about everything. But with every passing day, I grow more confused and frustrated, and the prospect of dating someone post-COVID in a 6 feet apart world is enough to have me running back to familiar pastures. Am I kidding myself that this is a good idea, or should I keep the communication going? Thank you for all your opinions and help with this. I look forward to your thoughts. Wink, wink, Anonymous. P.S. Rana, thank you for the Frette unboxing video. It served as an auditory replacement to Ativan, which I unfortunately run out of. Wow. That was a long question.
Someone has a lot of time on her hands. So this friend has had this conversation with all of her friends. And we've all been that friend who dated a guy like this. And then it's, oh, we broke up. And then here's the next story. And here's the next story. And here's the next story.
And we've only been her friend for 3 paragraphs. And it's like, make up your mind. It's up to you. What do you want to do? I don't know. Stop talking about it.
But you know what I'm talking about. When the friend says, do you want to have brunch? Da, 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 da. And then you have brunch and you think, oh, you told me I agreed to have brunch because you told me you'd broken up with this guy 4 weeks ago. So I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
Yep. And by the way, brunch. That brunch always starts with a huge compliment for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's
you look
always
so great. I'm taking you to brunch today. Brunch is on me today.
Misha, you, on Supernatural last week, I can't get over it. You were just incredible. The way you ate those burgers, like I had to eat a burger with you. You're so empathic and such a strong performer.
Can we talk about your EW cover? Can we talk about your EW
exactly.
cover?
Can we talk about your EW cover? Yeah. I can't even get over it. And then you say, how are you? And then it all hell breaks loose.
Misha, what do you think?
I mean, I think the writing is on the wall in this particular. This one sounded pretty obvious to me that she wants to be done with it. I think COVID should not be a reason to hold a relationship together.
Yeah,
if that's the glue that's keeping you together, I think it's really. It's pretty clear which direction you should go in.
I think so too. I think,
I mean, like, they do say desperate times, desperate measures. And, you know, it is difficult. It is challenging to date at the moment. And so that could cloud one's judgment. One could start thinking, wow, it's impossible to meet anyone, which is more or less true.
Yeah.
Although there are all kinds of strange pandemic dating rooms that are apparently opening up online.
And now they have this Bumble dating. You can Bumble date with you can
virtually?
Do a video date instead of a date. Yeah.
Not bad.
Huh.
I will say I don't understand. He got blackout drunk, screamed at you.
Yeah.
Didn't ever apologize for it because he says he doesn't remember it. How could you move on from that?
Because she's living in her parents' house and she's acting like a teenager.
Yeah.
So you have to ask yourself, do you want to totally be a teenager? I mean, really? She is texting this guy from her parents, her bedroom at her parents' house.
Yeah.
And so, which is already the worst feeling in the world. And this is just a little something for her because she doesn't have anything and she's feeling uncertain about the job and uncertain about afterwards and blah, blah, blah. And so there's an intimacy here with this guy, obviously, because they were in a relationship. And they're having teenage texting. And it may feel good in the moment, but it is ultimately totally destructive and only making your mood worse. Because on some level, you know, this is absolute nonsense. And there's no question. Look, maybe he's the greatest guy in the world, but he happens to have a drinking problem. Or maybe he's the greatest guy in the world who's having a bad year because of the job and this and that. But that's not really the way that people who are the greatest guy in the world deal with things.
Also, you deserve to have
when tough things happen to them.
Yeah.
And he doesn't mind taking it out on you. He doesn't mind a bit that when something goes wrong in his life, taking it out on you. And you pointed out yourself, you had 1 minute where you needed him because you lost your job and he wasn't a bit interested. This
and
guy
then he
doesn't
left.
Care at all.
He left and you begged him to stay. So this guy also knows that he can do that again.
Correct.
And there might be some tension for a week, but it's all going to go back to his way if he wants it. I don't know why you would do this to yourself. Get on a Bumble date.
Do you want to feel like a teenager? Just ask yourself that question. I mean, who likes that feeling? That's what you're doing. That's all this is. You're acting like you haven't learned anything as an adult and that you don't see the writing on the wall here. I mean, you just spent four paragraphs telling us what not a catch this guy is. I mean, really. Go
Misha,
back and reread your own letter. Would you tell your friend to go out with this guy?
Never. Never.
Misha's going to be a contrarian now. He's going to say he thinks this guy sounds great and that he's going to...
No, I think we have consensus on this one. This one seemed like the easiest of all of them.
Yeah. Are your children dating?
My children are not dating, I don't think. They're 7 and 9.
Oh. Well, then no. Okay.
All right,
Misha. Now, here's the part of the show where we give away something fabulous to one of the people who wrote in, and it's whoever we want to give it to.
Is it, let me guess, Crest whitening strips?
You know what? It should be.
It should be.
They'll be included, and I do sign them. Okay. Every strip is signed. That's part of the deal.
This week, we are giving away a free membership to the Criterion Collection.
Wonderful. Wow.
Or the Criterion Channel. Do you know what that is, Misha? What are you watching? What have you been watching while you're in quarantine?
It's a movie distribution.
Yes,
so you remember? Like, you may remember the Criterion Collection, which was they would do their curated list of the best movies of the century or this or that, and then they have a channel. Brian, you've really been on the channel, which
I have.
You could tell people what it really. I mean, how fabulous it is.
It's fab. I've watched I think like four things on there, and they categorize it very beautifully. Female filmmakers in France, they get very specific with it. Female filmmakers in France or like directors who had style. And then it's like, What's Up Doc with Clute, and you know what I mean? It just is like, it's very, it's they categorize everything very specifically, and they're just sort of a curated list of some of the best movies ever made from any country.
And we've been doing on our Patreon, we've been doing a Quarantine International Film Festival, and one of our films, at least now of a couple of our films, but one of our films was only available on Criterion, so we both signed up for it.
That's right.
And it was fabulous. We watched with Neil and I on that. And so, I mean, really, it's a very, especially nowadays, every night everybody goes to Netflix or Hulu or this or that, and you sort of exhaust and want to be served something. And these people really do a beautiful job of, I mean, it's sort of exciting to have it a little more highly curated instead of just an algorithm kind of thing. So that's what we're giving away.
So this week, are we giving it to,
and Misha, you just go on a feeling.
Yeah.
So it's for one of the people that ask questions.
Yes. Oh. So should it be the woman who had that blackout drunk ex? Should it be Teeth, or should it be it be
the boyfriend
with the roommate?
Yeah.
But except
I think it should be the just because I think it sounds most useful. I think it should be the woman with the blackout drunk boyfriend, because I think she's looking for something to occupy herself. And this will be a useful distraction.
I think that's a lovely thing, though. I think you're right. I think this would be a perfect distraction for that woman.
We're going to give it to the teenager in her bedroom.
Wonderful. Perfect. Misha.
And maybe she can watch a few versions of idealized romances and relationships, or some really bad ones, and figure out what she wants and what she doesn't want when she comes out of all of this.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So, Misha, what we normally do now is we read our cliffhanger, but if you don't want to stay for that, you don't have to.
What's your cliffhanger?
We just read a question that we answer on our Patreon later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's an exciting cliffhanger.
Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
Do you want to read it, Rana, or do you want me to?
You read it.
Okay.
I love when you read the cliffhanger.
Hello, beautiful Rana, Brian, and distinguished guest. Love the show and the Carriage House. I prefer anonymity. Thank you. Here's the rub. I'm a single mom. Wow, this went right. Okay, here's the rub. I'm a single mom on a couple dating apps. I happened to be on Tinder and came across my cousin's husband.
Oh.
I don't speak to my cousin regularly, but I do speak to her sister quite often. What do I do? My married cousin is gorgeous. She's fun and has been living her best life by all accounts. She's already been married once before to a stoner bum, and the new husband seems much more mature, hardworking, and dedicated. I am gobsmacked to read in his profile that he's in a loveless marriage and his wife isn't taking care of him. Woe is him. I really hesitate to tell anyone. I feel like Dan Savage would tell me to mind my own business. Maybe that's the right way to go, but I just feel really upset on her behalf. She deserves better than this. I've thought about telling her sister to get her advice, but that would essentially just be me putting my burden on her. I think I'd want to know if it was my husband, but maybe ignorance is bliss, especially now. Sincerely, unfortunately aware. All right, unfortunately aware. We are going to answer that question on the Patreon. Wow. Later this week.
That is a cliffhanger.
That is a cliffhanger. Misha, where can people follow you? Where can they read? They can certainly watch Supernatural, but where can they find out more about you and the wonderful things you're doing?
If they put my name in the internet, some things will come up. I have a Twitter and an Instagram and things like that. I don't know that I have anything terribly insightful to say on either platform, but if people are terribly bored, they can look me up. My name is Misha Collins. There you go.
It took us about 20 minutes to say it, so I'm glad we
did say it eventually. Yeah. I mean, you know, we ramped up to it, but we definitely said it.
Misha, stay safe and healthy, and your family as well, and you know, best of luck through all of this.
Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for entertaining me during my quarantine here.
And thanks for letting us be on your scavenger hunt.
Thanks for coming. That was really cool.
It was a blast. All right. Kiss, kiss.
Bye.
Bye.
The truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.